As received over the affiliated wire services of Associated Press, United Press, and International News Service. And here reporting from the KFWB News Bureau is Alan Mann with the latest invasion news to date.
Thank you, Dave. Allied invasion armies, aided by a continuous stream of reinforcements and the mightiest air and sea armadas ever assembled, held a firm grip on a wide beachhead on the northwest coast of France today and fought their way inland to the communication center of Cannes, 10 miles from the coast. The first 18 hours action, hours of this invasion in history, saw American, British, and Canadian liberating forces smash through the famed Nazi Atlantic Wall to seize key bridges before the surprise defenders could destroy them and presumably sever the main rail line between Cherbourg and Paris. German resistance to the mighty invasion thrust was amazingly ineffective. Official Allied quarters revealed the drive on Cannes, rail center and old capital of Normandy, which lies 62 miles south-southeast of Cherbourg and 110 miles west-northwest of Paris. German sources placed Allied paratroops only 60 miles from the French capital by announcing powerful paratroop and glider landings north of Rouen. Landings at Rouen would represent a penetration of 42 miles inland from the port of Le Havre. Nazi broadcasts gave a running account of battles along a 100-mile front. A Stockholm dispatch this morning declared that the Germans have declared a state of siege in Paris. General Dwight D. Eisenhower's Supreme Allied Expeditionary Force headquarters announced at midnight that our forces succeeded in their initial landings and revealed that losses in men, ships, and planes are remarkably light. Official sources described progress of the liberating invasion as satisfactory and ahead of schedule. The almost unbelievable magnitude of the Allied invasion began to take shape with the news that 4,000 ships and many hundreds of smaller craft protected and carried the Allied troops. Some 12,000 planes blasted the Germans with about 15,000 tons of high explosives between midnight and dusk, smashing all previous records for concentrated aerial bombardment and providing magnificent cover for the invading forces. The speed of the invasion matched its overwhelming bulk. RAF crews with bulldozers were ashore, carving out the first Allied airfields in Western Europe by 10:30 a.m. European time, 4.5 hours after the invasion armada made for the French coast. The airfields, being constructed by RAF crews, are the first Allied air bases in Western Europe since Dunkirk almost 4 years ago. Beyond the beachheads, the Allied invasion is growing in depth and fury. Steady streams of reinforcements from the tremendous concentrations of men and materials in Britain are pouring into the battle. The full weight of the Allied armed might is smashing against Nazi defenses. Almost forgotten in the rush of invasion news, troops of General Douglas MacArthur's 6th Army fought their way ahead against strong Jap resistance for the vital airfields of Biak Island off the Dutch New Guinea coast. American troops in an encircling movement approached the cliffs commanding the three airfields. Closely supporting planes of the 5th Air Force smashed a Jap fighter plane attempt to break up the Yank encircling movement aided by heavy anti-aircraft fire. Now a few sidelights on the invasion news. One from an INS reporter who says, "In the darkness this morning, I watched the greatest airborne invasion in history drum over this field. The lights of the transport planes and gliders stretching across the black dome of the sky like an endless, luminous necklace. Huge RAF bombers thundered in the opposite direction, their work of crumbling the West Wall done for one night at least. The men at this field stood out on the blacked-out field. Their unturned faces glinted by the moon. There were low whistles at the sight of the airborne force. Look at that. There goes America, boy," one flyer said quietly. The long-awaited hour had struck. Over our heads, a spear was being thrust at Hitler's heart. Then our own racy fighters took off. First returning pilots revealed that the French beaches were alive with Allied troops. Waves of men were pictured as they piled up on the beaches, over which hung a curtain of smoke. "It's black as hell on the beachhead areas," Lieutenant Colonel Frank Pergo of New York said immediately after returning from an early sortie. "You can see the flashes of our naval guns and our coastal guns as soon as you leave the English coast. It's too much to describe." "The seaweed seems to be keeping the Navy well out in the channel," Perego reported, "but the Navy is banging away broadside. As for the air, we have complete control. I didn't see one Jerry." And that comes from an INS reporter. And now, friends, remember, America's lives depend on complete secrecy of every military fact. Don't let careless talk make a national disaster of those happy reunions with soldiers on furloughs. The safe rule to follow is simply this. If you haven't heard it on the radio or seen it in print, don't talk about anything military, no matter how trivial the information may seem. If we all keep the little secrets, the enemy will never find out the big ones. So watch for careless talk. Yes, the enemy is listening. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the KFWB Invasion Newsreel. We've been on the air continuously since 9:45 p.m. last night, June 5th.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to remind you that during the course of the evening, we're going to have many special features. Analysis of the news, various